The study of the words of Jesus has been nothing but an encouragement to my heart and my life. It's having an effect. So we're going to continue on tonight. And the words of Jesus, what did Jesus say? And the words regarding what he said about his purpose. Some of these things, it's really difficult to try to exclude non-gospels scriptures because it's everywhere, but I'm trying really hard to just stay with what Jesus said about these things. And that's an awesome thing. I'm very challenged by it, but I'm also very, very encouraged by it. As we know, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." We want to hear his voice. We want him to know us and we want to follow him. He calls his sheep by the name. And as well, we have that other scripture that Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" How important it is to know what Jesus said so that we can do those things that he said. So tonight will be our first go at his purpose. What did Jesus say regarding his purpose? The Bible teaches us much about God's plan of salvation. And that began right after the fall of Adam and Eve. We see it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the seed of the woman was going to have dominance over the enemy, over the serpent. And we also see a little further down there that the Lord made coats of skins, which meant that he killed a sacrifice so that that could be their covering. No more fig leaves or what they were using before was not sufficient. They had to have the skins of the animal, which I'm assuming would have been a sheep. So God's plan of salvation started right at the beginning and was echoed through the prophets throughout all history. But for the purpose of our study, we want to know what Jesus said about his own mission and ministry. And so I think it's important for us to just see a little bit about the setting. The setting was the Jewish people were waiting for a Savior to come. And they were waiting around the same time that Jesus was born. There were no other people or religions waiting for a Savior like the Jewish people. That's right. I think it's important for us to understand that it was the Jewish religion, the Jewish people who were waiting for Messiah. There wasn't any Gentile religions or other religions that were also waiting for Messiah to come. It was just the Jewish people. And of course, it was those people who believed the books of the prophets, and in particular, the timeline that Daniel set out. And so there was expectation in the land during that time for Messiah or the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Bible to come true. And we saw that. We saw that echoed in Anna's prophecy where she was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon, who was there at that day when Jesus was born, the Spirit moving. And so people were talking about it. They were waiting. So that was that time. And of course, there was dominance. They were tributaries to Rome. They were taxing them. They were ruling over them, dominating them. And they were looking for the deliverance that God had promised in his word. In the popular conception, the Messiah was chiefly the royal son of David. That's what the thought was, that was the understanding was, and that's true. He was the royal son of David who would bring victory, Number one, prosperity to the Jewish nation, and to set up his throne in Jerusalem. That was the anticipation. That's what the Jewish people were expecting. And in that capacity, we can see that the multitude hailed Jesus on his entry to the capital. And it's almost as though that's what they were thinking. Do you remember when they were putting down the branches of the trees before him and crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David is coming. You know, Hosanna in the highest." There was something in them, because it was taught for thousands of years that Christ is going to come. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to be the lineage of David, and so on. So this was the excitement. This was the hope. That this Jesus, when he was going to Jerusalem that day, and I really think it kind of culminated there, and the whole place was just shouting and praising God. Everybody was filled with joy as Jesus went down that road. And they were looking to put him on the throne in Jerusalem. That was found in Matthew 21 and verse 9. Messiah, or the Savior, was to be a Jew, son of David, Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was to be a Jew, and was born to bring salvation and reconciliation to the Jewish people. So you can say, number one, the purpose of Jesus was to fulfill the Father's will concerning salvation, reconciliation to the Jewish people. He did not come for the Gentiles. He did not come for non-Jewish people. He did not come for people that were not aligned with that religion and doctrine. He came for the Jewish people. So we understand that about his purpose. I think it's important for us to know that and to understand that, because it also helps our understanding for why Israel is in the state they're in today, or the Jewish people are, and why we have to have compassion. Why it's part of our service and part of our life in Christ to have compassion towards the Jewish people. So Messiah was a Jew born to bring salvation and reconciliation to the Jewish people. And although there are references in the Old Testament, for example, in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 6, 49 verse 6, 60 and verse 3, and a host of others, it talks about that there was going to be, or that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. Those three examples were Isaiah 42, 6, 49, 6, and chapter 60 and verse 3. And there are a host of other ones, but those are just some examples. And there seems to be a common thread that he would be a light to the Gentiles. But Messiah was sent to reconcile Israel to God. And as we know, or as we can understand, that the Bible at that time was a Jewish document. It was for the Jewish people. There was no New Testament. There was just the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms. So Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22, and we'll start looking at this so we can illustrated a little bit more clearly. Matthew 15, verse 22, and we'll read down to verse 28. And it says that, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto Jesus, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23, Jesus ignored her, says he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away because she's crying after. She was a non-Jewish lady. She was a Canaanite. Verse 24, it says, but he answered and said to the woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told this non-Jewish lady. She was not to have that. She was a mother. Her child was vexed or possessed by the devil, and she wanted him delivered. And I think this is one of the most wonderful things, or one of the most amazing things. That what moves our God, doesn't matter what or who you are, is faith. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's not going away. Persistence is good. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. So, I mean, he's not even being nice at this point. First, he's ignoring her, told her that he's not even come for her. And now he's saying that basically she's a dog. I'm not going to take the children's food and cast it to the dogs. This is Jesus. And she said, you're right. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Amen. Whatever you want, you have it. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Hallelujah. I think it's important. Jesus made it very clear. I am not here but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And more than that, he really criticized the fact that she was not in that lineage. Her birthright was not a Jewish person. I think we all know that Jesus wanted to stretch her faith as far as he could. And you know what I love too? It's a great example that you don't give up after you prayed once. We keep going. We keep praying. Right? And when it seems not, we trust in the Lord. This is what your word says. We remind the Lord. By reminding the Lord, we remind ourselves. This is what it says in your word. These are the promises that I'm holding on to today, Lord. I believe that what you said has happened. And that's our faith. And when we release that faith, the Lord loves to bring that to action. But I believe that the Lord stretches us so that our faith can truly be increased. And I also believe, as I said many times, right now, today, he's preparing us for something that you have no idea it's coming down. And you're going to be so grateful for every trial that you've had up to this point that's prepared you for what the Lord is sending upon the earth. The next example I want to use is that Jesus sends out his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter not. Don't you go there. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus was truly preparing them to continue his mission. He was sent for that, and that's what he was sending them to do. Don't go where the Gentiles are, and don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Their mandate was clear from heaven. Amen? And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. To the Jewish people, he specifically directed their ministry, or restricted their ministry, if you will, to the lost sheep of Israel. I think that possibly that could have been what one of the things that added to the problems after Jesus rose from the dead, returned to heaven, and we see the apostles and brethren fighting over what the Gentiles, how their lives should be in regards to the law and other things after they receive Christ. In fact, we remember that the Lord had to convince Peter in a dream by letting down that sheet, right? Full of foods that Jewish people don't eat. And the Spirit said, arise and eat. And he said, no, I have never eaten that stuff and I never will. And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, don't call common. What I've cleansed is cleansed. And three times, and Peter woke up, hallelujah, and ended up going and being the mission to the Roman guys. The Lord knows how to do it. But this was their understanding. You know, it wasn't that they were just selfish. This was their training. This was their understanding. So when he rose, went to heaven, they were going to carry that on. And they really had a problem for a time, until the Lord revealed that he had other work to do as well. Next scripture I want to show you is that John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, Jesus reveals that he is the Messiah. And you know who he revealed it to? The woman of Samaria at the well. In John 4, 25 and 26, I just read those instead of reading the whole passage. It says, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am he. I am the Messiah. I thought that was wonderful. And she had a big mouth. In fact, she went after Jesus was finished and told everybody, tell him, come, tell him. See, a man told me everything about my life. A prophet, I think this is the Christ, the anointed one. In the next scripture, Jesus becomes the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and we'll read to 21, says, Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20 says, and he closed the book And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Wouldn't you love to have been in the synagogue that day? That would have been just wonderful. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you know how long they waited and how well they knew that scripture? Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that the Lord is kind, compassionate, reveals himself. So we see that although we understand more about his purpose concerning non-Jewish people, the Lord sent him here for that purpose. And I mean, to summarize it, Israel or the Jewish people rejected him. And so he turned to the other nations of the world. And those are also prophecies that were fulfilled by their rejection. And I want to read, actually I've read some to you, but because in other studies we've done, but in Luke 19 and verse 10, that's quite a long parable, but I recommend that. The nobleman who went into a far country to seek a kingdom. You know, when Jesus cried out, as we were reasoning, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which stonest the prophets and kill those that I sent unto you, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And then he said to them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And he said, you shall not see me. Blindness. It's important for us to understand that God has also blinded the eyes of the nation of Israel so they cannot see Messiah anymore. And though it's been 2,000 years since Jesus was there, and it's an inordinate amount of time to wait for Messiah to come since they were already respecting him or expecting him. But he's not coming. You shall not see me until the day come when you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Again in Luke 19:42. I also read this the other day as we were together. I think it was Sunday. And when he was come near, he beheld, that's verse 41, he beheld the city and wept over it and said, Jerusalem, if you had known, even you, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Blindness. Jesus speaking about it, fulfilled. And the next scripture is in Romans chapter 11, 25. And that's where Paul says, for I would, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. The blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles come in. And Paul's saying that because there was some thinking that they were, you know, because they had rejected Messiah and yelled for his crucifixion, that they were, you know, they had lost favor or part of what God wanted to do, but that's not the case. And Paul tried to express that, and he said, if you being a wild branch were grafted into the true olive tree, don't be high-minded but fear, because it's much easier for the branch that was taken out to be put back in again. And this is God's plan. And you know, blindness for Israel is happening for a specified amount of time until the fullness of the Gentiles. And so is our time. This is our time. I just thank the Lord Jesus so much. This is our time to rise up. This is our time to serve the Lord. This is our time to praise the Lord, to thank Him for Messiah, for every time, for our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship to the Father through Jesus Christ. All those things that Israel desired for thousands of years have happened to you and have happened to me. We are a blessed people. God has taken us out of all the countries, the east, the west, the north, and the south, and brought us to the foot of His throne. And all I can imagine is that that day comes when we're to stand together with the children of Israel, and the blindness is taken away from their eyes, and they see Messiah, and we see together, and we can praise Him together. Yes. That we laud Him, and they accept us. Yes. As their family, and us them. Yes. They are my family. My Savior was a Jew. Amen. Don't be high-minded, but fear. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And you know, we believe that that time, of course, is coming very quickly. It's time. Time to get ready.